everyone. Thanks for listening to the Adulting is Easy podcast. This is Lauren, and I manage the Adulting is Easy blog and podcast, which can be found at realadultingiseasy.com and anywhere you listen to podcasts. Today, we have another bonus episode for you, and that is the recording of the Wealth Wednesday Twitter space from January 5th, 2022. Stephen, Clint, Tom, and myself brought on with us Stephen from My Success Theory to talk about success mindsets and goal setting here at the beginning of 2022. Adam, Samantha, Mary, and others contributed as well. It's a really great episode, and I hope you enjoy it.
All right, everybody. Welcome to Wealth Wednesday Spaces. I am your host, Lauren. I go by Adulting is Easy here on Twitter, and I'm joined by my co-hosts and our special guest, Stephen from Success Theory. And tonight, that's exactly what we are talking about, success, that is. So what does it take to build a success mindset? As usual, I don't know if anybody's ever joined us before. We do these every Wednesday at 9:30 Eastern. I say Eastern because that's the time zone I'm in, but we do represent all four of them across North America here. And so we'll do some intros, and then we'll talk about kind of what success means for each of us. And I think I will kick it directly to Stephen, Success Theory, since you are our vaulted guest tonight.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. Good to be here. So just do a little intro about myself. I'm an ex-project manager from the insurance world. I've also got about 15 years of people management in my background. I'm originally from Ireland. I currently tweet from Vancouver. Lived in Canada for 10 years. Just thought it was too cheap living in the UK, so I decided to come and live in one of the most expensive cities in the world. So I just want to challenge myself. So yeah, I've been tweeting from Success Theory. This account really blew up for me over the pandemic over the past 2 years, so much so that I left my corporate role about 6 or 7 months ago. And now I'm a full-time one-on-one results coach, as I call myself, but probably productivity, performance, project managed coach. I help project manage people's lives to bigger and better results. So I'm super pleased to be here.
Thank you. That's amazing. Can't wait to hear more from you. And it's nice to meet you.
You too.
Tom, you want to go next?
Absolutely. Hey guys, my name is Tom Brickman. I go by the Frugal Gay here on Twitter and Instagram. I am a full-time real estate investor. I currently hold 17 doors across 2 states in Ohio and Texas. I own a resale business called Cheap Cheap Closeout, which I flip merchandise. And I currently still have a 9-to-5 job as well. So I kind of go in many different directions, but I am transitioning away from that 9-to-5 job here shortly. And I will go ahead and turn it over to Coach Clint.
Hey, everyone. Great to see you tonight. I am Coach Clint on Twitter. I am a CFO by day of a real estate development company. At night, I'm a real estate investor. I am a podcast host, write fantasy novels, and am a husband and father of 2 young boys, a 13-year-old and a 10-year-old. I'm probably going to be pretty quiet tonight. The energy level that I have right now with recovery is pretty low, but I hope to be able to chime in and contribute every once in a while. This is one of my favorite topics because to be successful and achieve wealth, mindset, I believe, is one of the most important components of that journey. And so I think it's a very valuable topic that we'll be having with everyone tonight. And Stephen, Wealthy, that leaves you last, brother.
Awesome. Thanks, Clint. So yeah, I'm Stephen Wealthy. I'm 44. It's the first time I've had to say that. Last time we did the spaces, I was 43. So I just had my birthday. I'm married, have 3 kids, and I live in Calgary, Canada. I have a Bachelor of Commerce degree from the University of Alberta. And I majored in management of information systems. I'm a self-made millionaire. I haven't worked as an employee since 2007. And I started during the lockdown mining Ethereum in 2020, in mid-2020 there, and found enormous success with it. And so I teach it for free. You can go on my profile. I have a bunch of guides on there from beginners to advanced. You can download them. You could even start mining Ethereum tonight. Actually, I've helped, I think, 12 people so far. start mining Ethereum. And then even today, it actually blew up. I had the operating system called HiveOS. I know to most people that doesn't mean anything, but think of it like Windows. They reached out to me today and said, hey, we love what you're doing. Would you like to collaborate with us on a few things? And it was a huge nod of confidence and a terrific day for me. And then one of my idols on YouTube who taught me Ethereum mining reached out to me as well too. And it's been a terrific day so far. So yeah, happy to be here tonight and learn about mindset and success.
Congrats, Stephen. That's amazing.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. It was, had to sit down when that happened.
So happy for you. It's been so cool to watch you grow and succeed. So it's been really cool. I'm glad you're on our panel tonight to talk about success for sure. I think Stephen, other Stephen from my success theory, why don't you kick us off, right? We're just entering 2022. We want to make sure that we are attacking our goals this year, really thinking about what we want to accomplish this year. So kind of the basis of that first is building a success mindset, right? So we'd love to hear from you. And you have success in your middle name here of your Twitter handle. So why don't you kick us off?
Yeah, sure. I can jump in and kick off. I've been talking in a few spaces with Clint, funny enough, over the last week or so about 2022 and about growth and mindset and success and planning and everything else. I think one of the main things that I am a big fan of and I've talked about ad nauseum, I think, over the last few weeks and months is if you want to have a success mindset, for me, it's about tapping into a successful future. Having a big, as I call it, a keystone goal to aim for. And this isn't something that you're going to complete this year, possibly not even something you're going to complete next year, but something that could be 3 to 5 years out, life-shifting kind of goal, a kind of goal that your current consciousness or your current self feels like it's a stretch. The person who you are today doesn't actually have the skills, knowledge, and ability to actually be that person yet. Like for me, I have a small coaching business and one of my big, bold, kind of audacious goals is to have a $1 million a year revenue coaching business, all the websites, communities, everything else like that. And that's a big ass scary goal. Even me saying that out loud, I'm like, I have no idea how I'm going to make that happen. But that's a 5 to 10 year goal for me. So that goal, then it influences my mindset. And then I boil that all the way down to, okay, what am I now going to do over the next 90 days that is going to invest more sort of capital into that future of me? I call it sort of you're investing in yourself. It's future capital. You're investing in the direction you want to go. And I'm a project manager by trade. I did that in the insurance world before. So I think quite a lot in 90-day or in sprints or in little sort of milestones and stop-start. And I think that allows me to then think, well, okay, what am I doing over the next 90, 60 days that I'm going to move towards these big goals? What type of person do I have to be over the next 90 days to complete these goals? What kind of habits, routines, how do I show up? And every time that I do the things that I think that I'm supposed to be doing, I'm investing in that future capital of myself, that future version of myself. I'm investing in that big, bold goal that I've set out that I want to take my entrepreneurial journey on. So every time I get up at 5 a.m. or 5:30 in the morning, every time I meditate, every time I plan, every time I execute, every time I launch something, every time I work for hours and exercises for my clients, that's investing in that future capital, that future version of myself. And I think going back to how I started this, and I'll let somebody else jump in now as I wrap up, I feel like you can't really build a success mindset if you don't have a success future that you're aiming to hit.
I love that, Stephen. Right out of the gate, I want to ask, so you envision and you meditate and you have a massive goal that's uncomfortable and you can see where you want to go and you can put it out, let's say 3 to 5 years. But you said it's uncomfortable to the point where you don't have the skill set to deliver it. how do you close that gap? Because I think that's what a lot of us struggle with. You know, I can easily, not easily, but I can envision I want to have $1 million revenue of XYZ company or business venture. What are your kind of your first steps or first two, three steps to start closing gaps?
Yeah, so that for me is it's a breakdown of, like, you've got the big goal, as I said, the big $1 million goal, and my breakdown step is the 90-day sprint. It's what is reasonable, what is big for me but reasonable over the next 90 days. A quote that I often think about that I heard, I think it's from Dan Sullivan, the strategic coach guy. He's a very large entrepreneurial coach, like a high level coach, and he says quite often that 10x is easier than 2x. Because the 2x your goals, you still need to do work. But if you go for 10x, it stretches your thinking. It stretches how far you can go. You might not hit 10x, but you might hit 3x or 4x or 5x. But if you just think small and you think within the box kind of thing, you're not stretching your capabilities. You're not stretching yourself. You're not opening yourself up for different patterns. One thing that I feel like, if you have set these big goals and you're worried about how am I going to get there, if you are still doing the same thing on a daily basis that you were doing 6 months ago, you haven't made a shift. You're not really changing yourself to move towards that big goal. So if you can look back 6 months ago and you can think, oh, what I'm actually doing each day or each week or each month is significantly different than what I was doing 6 months ago, you're moving slowly but surely towards that new version of yourself. And that's why I think it's extremely important that if you are going to have a success mindset and you want to go after these big, bad, bold goals, you have to do it in little quarterly sprints and then even monthly. And you have to review your KPIs, your key performance indicators. Let's use Twitter as an example. I used to track my follower count a lot more than I did. I used to look at my analytics a lot more than I did. I was very much into, I wanted to get to 20K followers. I wanted to get to 30K followers. I wanted to get to 40K followers. How I got there was I was reviewing what I was doing. I was reviewing a thread that didn't do too well. How can I get better? I was testing things, adapting to things. I was always testing, reviewing, assessing, reflecting, and then trying again. And over the last 2 years, I've gone from 75 followers to 40, I don't know what I am today. I'll quickly check my profile, 44,000. And I in a microcosm of success, I would put the test, learn, adapt systems that I put into place in Twitter to grow are the same test, learn, and adapt systems that I would use in life. I hope that answers your question, Stephen.
And we can get into it a little bit later on, but just how do you deal with unmet expectations within those 90-day sprints? Because I think something – you don't have to answer right now. I think you kind of want to move on a little bit, but I would love to know, just like, you know, I have this big goal. I envision my first step. I don't get the result. What do I do next? You know, how do I plan for my next 90 day and my next step two, let's say. Anyways, Lauren, I don't mean to take over or hog. I don't know where you wanted to go next.
Or oh, not at all.
Invite people to come up, but.
Oh yeah. Good point. We should definitely mention that. Sorry. Stephen, I think you're going to take DMs, right? Stephen Welty. So at Stephen Welty _, he's monitoring DMs. So if you have questions, like quick questions or anything that you want to ask. Also, if you would rather like get on stage and speak and either share with us your ideas of success or how you build your success mindset, or ask somebody on the panel a question, feel free to request the microphone and we can give that to you as well. So a little bit of housekeeping I forgot to do at the top there. I did have a follow-up question for Stephen, for my success theory, Stephen. How do you know when you have the right keystone goal? Something that's always been kind of interesting for me, I think, is people ask, you know, what do you want to be when you grow up? And I've like literally never known. And I still feel like I don't know. And part of the reason I am so aggressively seeking financial independence is I feel like once the mantle is lifted, of needing to make money to pay for my life, I may find my calling, if you will. So as of right now, I wouldn't say that I have a keystone goal beyond financial independence. So I was just wondering, how do you know when you have the right keystone goal?
That's a good question. Again, it's probably very individual how everybody wants to go around doing it. But a few years ago, I wrote, I think maybe more than a few years ago, 2019 or 2020, I wrote that I wanted to build $1 million business. I haven't done it yet, but I wrote it down. But over the last couple of years, I've refined it to now a coaching business because it's something that is now I'm narrowing it into what I want to do. And I think that if you don't have a specific niche that you're in, or you don't have a specific thing you're aiming for, I think you can pick, I'm not going to just say really vague keystone goals, but maybe keystone goals like that. I'd like to create $1 million business. Or for you with financial freedom, it's a number that you're going after. I think it's important that we are specific and still a little bit vague if you're just starting out. But if you, for instance, if your financial freedom, if you were to say 5 million was your thing, or 2 million or 1 million, I don't know what your targets are, at least you've got a number to it that is signaling to your subconscious, signaling to your sort of like yourself that that's what you're going for. And I think that's a good place to start, in my opinion.
Okay, got it. Yeah, that's really helpful. Thank you. Clint, how are you feeling? Are you ready to tell us what you think about success mindsets?
You bet. Sure. Stephen's successor and I realized in the last few times we've jumped on and tag teamed some of this that we are very aligned in our thinking. And I had a guest today, Stephen, on the podcast that put into words the idea of the goal that we're striving towards in a way that I think may resonate with you as well. He said, have a destination, but not defined. And so we know the general direction we're going, and we may have a path on the way there, but we recognize that we're taking left turns, we're taking right turns. We might stay 2 days in a little city, a little village before we move on to the next city. And so I really enjoyed that idea of we know where we want to get to over the long term, and we're making a steady march there, and that we're doing the right steps each day to get there. I think, Lauren, for me, a success mindset comes down to a few things. One, adopting the mindsets, the habits, the behaviors that serve us in life, and learning to let go of the mindsets, behaviors, and habits that no longer serve us, and recognizing when something switches from serving us to not serving us anymore, because it can change over time. And even today, I realized I had a mindset that wasn't serving me. And so when you have a conversation with someone and it strikes you, oh my gosh, my thinking is flawed, letting yourself let go of that mindset with grace. And I'll give you a quick example. So most of what I've learned and applied in life is just working a job and mentoring and coaching people that work on my team. And so there's, you know, it's a decent sized team with 30 people. And so I've maybe helped 50 to 100 people over the last 10 years. And it feels great. And there's value to that for me. And then you get on to a platform like Twitter. And that same information that has only helped 50 people is the same information that can help millions and millions of people. But somewhere in there, I wasn't giving myself permission to recognize that, right? There wasn't permission to recognize that the knowledge base that I've gained in a small circle is just as powerful to a much larger circle that I haven't been exposed to. And it was just in the conversation with the guests on the podcast this morning that I realized that was a limiting belief that I was holding. And so learning to spot your limiting beliefs, and one of the easier ways to do that is to surround yourself with people who will point them out, like Steven or Tom or you can say, hey, Clint, I think you've got a limiting belief here. And then eliminating the limiting beliefs and bringing in beliefs that will move you forward in life. And then the last point I'll say on it is learning to shut off the inner critic and be using your mind when you want to use it versus having your mind just kind of run you on the hamster wheel all day long. Those are some of the key things for me in success mindset.
I love that, Clint. And it's amazing that you were able to come up with an example of even something today that you learned. And I do totally agree. And that's something that I love about these spaces in general is hearing all these different mindsets, all these different points of view, and putting them all together and kind of coming up with like your own version, your own thesis, your own path, like you said, Clint. So that's absolutely amazing. Tom, do you want to talk next?
Absolutely. I'm a little intimidated going after Clint and Steven, but I definitely align with both Steven and Clint, and I appreciate their sharing minds. Every time I jump on this, and I was saying this earlier today, and I'm around Steven and Lauren and Clint and whoever our guest is that week, I leave here so inspired, and I learn and I pivot my plan. And this year I'm working on 17 goals. I take value in these, not only as a contributor, but as I feel like I learn something. Every time I click leave on the spaces, I feel like I've learned something today. So my mindset, I want to just go on kind of what I've done and where I've come from and what I've done. I did not grow up with a ton of money, but I didn't want that to stop me or limit where I could go or what I was doing. So I've been a hustler since I was in high school. I mean, I took a job at 16 at the Gap, and I wanted to be well-dressed while I was in school so the other kids wouldn't make fun of me. And I took a job and I made $5.15 an hour, but it kind of got me started and where I am today. For the last 2 years, and I skipped the whole middle part on purpose because I'm going to close with that. For the last 2 years, my number one goal in 2020, 2021, and 2022 have been leave my 9-to-5 job. And I'm going public with it on, I guess, technically now, but I am leaving my job. Friday is my last day, so I'm going to announce that on Saturday. But now I've announced it to everyone in spaces tonight, because I know that that has held me back from where I want to go. And when I look at my other 16 goals on my list, I have to pivot. And this kind of aligns right with what Steven was sharing at the beginning. So I know with my rental portfolio, with my goals that I'm working towards, with my 9-month goals, with my 4-year goals, with my 8-year goals, everything that I want to work on, if I don't let myself get through this goal number one of leaving my 9-to-5, it's going to continue to hold me back. I was actually sitting here kind of thinking, do I want to write my boss a thank you note for being a terrible leader? Because that's really what pushed me over the line. And I don't know that I need to go that route, but I am transitioning away from my job this week, and I am very excited about that. The middle and the success mindset that I want to, Clint, did you want to go?
No, I want to wait till you're done.
Okay. In the middle, and my success mindset, it does go into real estate because I have been investing heavily in real estate since I was 21. But some of the ones that kind of I want to share tonight, and I know I've talked about it a lot. So if you're in here, I'm sorry, you're going to hear the same story about this crack house I bought on eBay. But I did buy a crack house, a very dilapidated house on eBay that I was bidding on in Texas, and the house was in Ohio. And when I purchased that property, I did not know it was a crack house. I only learned that as my husband went up there and saw fresh bullet holes in the windows. My father went out and he met my husband out there, and he called me as he's walking around and he's like, cut your losses, let this one go, it's not worth it. And I ignored him, and I ignored a lot of people along the way. And I just stuck with what I knew. And I spent a lot of money fixing it. And we put a new roof and we put a new furnace and we made it very nice. And finally this past summer, I sold it. I ended up making $16,000 total profit, but I sold it to my tenant, who is a 47-year-old who never owned a home, and he's a first-time home buyer. So I didn't make a ton of money. I did work on it, and collecting rent from him for the past 2 years of owning it was always a challenge. But in my mind, it was a gigantic success, way beyond $16,000, because I just turned him into a first-time home buyer. And that's really, you know, that's my mindset, is I may have made $16,000, and that may not be a lot to a lot of people, but I did get a first-time home buyer in here. And it's someone, you know, when he approached me about buying it, and he loves it because we made it very nice inside. This is something he couldn't have reached without me doing what I did. So I like helping people get to over their goals. I love, like, earlier today I was DMing with another finance guy, and they're looking at buying their first house. And I just love having those conversations with people. So when I can help them or ease them or guide them along the way, and I mean, I DM with quite a few of you who are in here tonight. I love that. I love that I had a DM conversation with Kenny and he was able to start flipping merchandise, because that's really another way that I've financed these deals. I want to go ahead and turn it over to Clint.
Yeah, I'll pass it back to Lauren, but I just wanted to emphasize, because you, from a mindset perspective, I always want to see you shift slightly, right? Because you add so much value to us as a group. And I know that you always emphasize how you kind of leave this space with a certain energy, and being with Steve and Lauren and me, and it's likewise, brother, it's mutual, and you add such value to this world, and I want to see you step into that full power that you bring and embrace it, and not think that it's less than at times, because you are awesome. So I want to see you own that awesomeness, brother.
Thank you so much, Clint. I'm hoping that my shift away from my 9-to-5 is going to get me there, because I know that's part of what, you know, I feel drained when I get home from that after, you know, a 12-hour shift or working every single holiday, or I have a piece coming out that I'm talking about working the holidays. So I appreciate you saying that, Clint. Thank you. I'm working on it, and I'm going to get there.
I was just thinking, as both of you were talking about the book Atomic Habits, which was the first book I read of 2021. And I think it's in that book where they talk a lot about you make something part of your identity. So let's say you want to run like a 5K. You need to make "I am a runner" part of your identity, right? And I think success can be very similar to that, and it's very applicable. And Tom, I think the way that your 9-to-5 maybe has held you back a little bit, and I think this is the same for me in a lot of ways, is you think of that as part of your identity. Like for me, it's like I'm a salesperson or whatever. But something that really changed in me a little over 2 years ago was I kind of added real estate investor to my identity. And that really changed things and supercharged my investing at that point. So, and I also tried to think of myself as a person who, when I set goals, I reach them. And it actually makes me, I don't want to set too crazy of goals, because I'm like hyper competitive even with myself. And I don't want to burn myself out. So something that I really do a lot of is I set very realistic goals, very realistic to-do lists. I make sure that I'm very consistent. And I always say this, that I'm time realistic. I'm not time optimistic. So I'm always trying to strike this balance between these like aggressive, you know, big, hairy, audacious goals or whatever you want to call them, but also like these smart goals, which are like measurable and attainable, and all of those things that, you know, make goals really, really like a good goal for you to have. I guess since I'm on a roll, I'll just continue with kind of my thoughts on a success mindset. And we've danced around it, but I'll just say it. You have to surround yourself with other successful people. There's no way that you can be successful if, especially if there's a lot of naysayers around you, but also if you don't have people to bounce ideas off of, if you don't have people to look up to. I mean, Tom, when you and I were first talking, when I first interviewed you for my podcast, which, by the way, guys, we are recording this for my podcast. But Tom, when I first interviewed you, I thought, that's where I want to be, right? You're like, you were like 38 at the time. I think you're 39 now, and I'm 32. And I remember thinking, that's where I want to be. in that amount of time. I want to be on the verge of quitting my 9-to-5. I want to do it through real estate. Not going to lie, I wasn't planning on flipping bras, but I was like, that's where I want to be. And that's what this group and these spaces, and that's what they're really, really good for. Let me see. One other thing I wanted to mention, and I know this group all does this too, is, and I mentioned Atomic Habits, but I read books to cultivate a mindset. And I read like a lot of personal finance books. And my husband or like my cousins will be like, are you learning anything at this point? You know, like you have, like I have a business finance degree and I have a graduate certificate, personal financial planning. And they're like, what are you learning? And I'm like, you know what, maybe a nugget or two. Now I'm not getting a ton from these books anymore. However, it's keeping me in a personal finance state of mind, keeping me sharp, keeping my mind thinking along those lines. And so something that I am really big on is the reading the books, cultivating a mindset. And I also, part of my identity, speaking of the identities, is I am someone who reads books. I am someone who learns. I am a lifelong learner. And that's something that's really become a part of my identity. Basically, ever since I got out of college, I just started reading. I don't know what it was about college and school that made me not want to read. But as soon as I graduated, I picked up books and I have not stopped. So that's a big thing for me. And I know Clint and others on the panel as well. So I think Stephen Wealthy, I know you asked some questions earlier, but I don't think we really talked about success and success mindset for you specifically.
Sure. Yeah. And if we have anyone who wants to come up and ask a question or share something that's worked for them too, we want to invite anyone to come up and do just that. You can also DM me questions and I can read them out on your behalf if it's a little more comfortable that way. For myself, you know, sorry, before just, Tom, I think it's inspirational what you said at the top of your section. You have 17 doors and you're incredibly successful and you're accomplishing so much, and it's awesome to hear someone in your position say that you come here and you find value and you learn, and just want to give you the tip of the hat, man. I don't have anything close to 17 doors. And I just think it's your humility is very inspirational, and I love it, man. For myself, I apologize in advance. This is going to sound super cliche, but a book that had a tremendous amount of impact on me was The Secret. I read it once, 4 or 5 years ago, it had an impact on me, and I read it again during the pandemic, and it had another incredible impact on me. I'm not trying to promote it, although I kind of am, but I think it's just I'm very susceptible to its teaching and how it wants you to attract the very thing you most desire into your life. Know what you want, see it, animate it, and then feel towards it. I meditate every morning. I have goals that are aligned to that meditation, and I feel towards what that goal is. I know it sounds mystical and almost fantasy type of thing, but it really has worked for me. I try and word my life towards that goal, and so I really try to mind the words in my mind. And I think a lot of us here can say Twitter is a terrific platform for that, because Twitter, it can be an expression with words and it can be very powerful. I'm sure you guys can see some tweets that are out there that are extremely powerful without using strong language, and they can be very fast and very into your brain right away. And I love that about Twitter, because I can have a thought or two and I can say, hey, how can I mix this up to make an incredible tweet that hits? And I try and do that to some extent with my goals. And so I try and see my goal, feel towards it, and attract it into my life. And that's why I asked Stephen's success theory, how do you know the next step? Because I don't always know my next step. But I trust that if I can attracted into my life, I will identify it. I will see it. I'm looking for it. And I want to have the courage and gumption to act on it. And it's worked out tremendous for me. And I can't say enough about it. And so that mindset of wording your life towards the goal that you want has yielded incredible results for me.
Clint, you're raising your hand.
Yeah, I want to just echo Stephen that intention, vision, super powerful, scientifically proven to work. One of the key things, though, is what has to come with it. And you do this. So just emphasizing for the people that are listening is action has to come with it. And Stephen, success theory will often say that the law of attraction should, Stephen, the words that I recall are the law of attraction is actually the law of action.
Yeah, that's something that I believe in. The law of attraction is actually the law of action, because I what Stephen said, it's funny having two Stephens talking to a mirror. What Stephen said, 100% right. You visualize it. I'm a big fan of some conscious sort of alignment, you know, infinite intelligence, thinking about these things that you want, affirmations, writing out your sort of future statement of like who you are in the future, aligning yourself towards those big goals. But at the end of the day, all that journaling, planning, meditating, affirmations, it's beautiful, it's energizing, it's fantastic, but it doesn't manifest itself in the real world unless you actually take action, unless you throw things out in the world, unless you build websites, build products, call people, send DMs, do all the work. But what you find is you have a better idea of what you want to do because you're tapping into this infinite intelligence. You're tapping into that power. And your meditations and your journaling sessions will usually, as Stephen was saying, will usually provide you with a ton of answers. So you're never unsure of your next steps. In fact, I would argue you often have too many steps and you're overwhelmed with so many ideas that you actually got to rein yourself back in and stay very focused on what you're doing. Because I've found myself being overwhelmed with so many options, especially in this modern world. But yeah, I love what everybody's saying.
Yeah, for sure. And I do agree with that. There is that fallacy, and that's kind of almost why I hesitate with mentioning the secret, is it makes it sound like if you just think about it and dream about it, you're going to attract it into your life. And that law of action, as you put it, 100% stand behind that too. I think what happens is when I can see what I want and I animate it, and I think animation is an important part. You need to be able to see what that future is going to be like, and then you feel towards it. And that gives you that motivation to take that next step. That next step, you may not know what it is, but when it comes to you, you'll have the confidence to act on it because you believe that action will lead you to the thing you're trying to attract into your life. But yes, we need action for sure. Nothing just comes to us for free. I'm just looking at the DMs. I don't have anything coming in. And Lauren, I don't think anyone else has requested the microphone, have they?
Nope, haven't seen any.
For those in the audience, we have a lot of people. We're over 50 people. If you want to come up and ask any question that's on your mind on success mindset, if you want to share something that's worked for you in your past or that you think will help move you forward in 2022, either DM Stephen Wealthy or throw up a hand to request the mic and we'll bring you up here. Perfect. We got Adam ahead, finance. Good to see you, brother.
Good to see you guys. Appreciate all the spaces that you guys do. Super helpful. One of the questions I was curious about is, and maybe you've covered some stuff like this, but any advice or any experience you guys have, and Clint, you know a little bit about what I'm working on. When you talk about next steps and setting goals, any advice you have, if you think about it from the perspective of almost starting over or starting from scratch or making like a large lateral move? And I guess what I mean by that is I have, you know, I've been in a successful career for, you know, a dozen years now. And, you know, that next step is probably away from where a lot of my skill sets lie, and what I'm good at and where I make a lot of money. And so curious if you guys have any specific advice about good ways to just keep your head focused and learn when you're starting something completely from scratch that's sort of outside of your wheelhouse.
Steven, why don't you go first?
I was just going to jump in on the language being used, just the idea that you're starting from scratch and that you're in a completely new environment. And I always like to challenge that kind of wording, because it's like, well, you've learned how to grow in other areas before, so you already have a personal blueprint of success. And it's whatever niche or whatever environment you're in, the climb from zero to hero is a very similar process. And if you've done it in one area, not only do you have all the lessons from that area, but you also know what it takes to grind, to work, to come at something. So I always like just that little point there. Don't say that you're starting from scratch. If you've got a little bit of experience, you're starting at an advantage.
Yeah, that's a fair point. I'll say it's, I mean, it's interesting because my career has been in finance, and I think I naturally have fallen into, you know, the logic of numbers. And I think I've just naturally grown into it and done well. And some of the next steps that I would be interested in taking, as I've mentioned, you know, to Clint before, have more, you know, are more of the soft skills, go to market, marketing, content creation, a lot of what Twitter is all about. And so they're fundamentally almost two different parts of the brain that I'm engaging. One was very natural to me and one is not. And so I agree with you. There very much is a blueprint, but, you know, sometimes having to switch the whole mindset into different parts of the brain like that and learn new skill sets is can feel a little daunting at times, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you want to go, Steve?
I was just going to say I was just going to say life is simple. No one said it was ever easy.
Absolutely. And Adam, you know, a lot of us, we have a certain background and we do something for a career. So we think that defines us. At the end of the day, Lauren nailed it when she said, you say, if you want to be a runner, just say, I am a runner. And then put one foot in front of the other. If you want to be an author, say, I am an author, and put a pen to paper. Anyone in this room can do almost anything if we believe we can and we do the work, right? So have that mindset shift. Adam, you're a founder now, right? And you're going to be a founder of a tech company. You have an idea, you've prototyped it, you've shown it to people. I've looked at it and said, wow, yeah, I'd play with that for sure. So you have something. Now you've just got to do the work. And an example I've shared with some young people in the past is you've got a couple different approaches you can take. The barbarians or Vikings on the beach, and you just burn the boat behind you and you go all in. Given your family status, what's happening, let's not go with the burn the boats on the beach. The other one is the Spider-Man approach, right? You're in Spider-Man, the movie out right now, possibly one of the best Spider-Man movies ever. I don't know if we need to have the full debate tonight on that, but my gosh, was it phenomenal. Spider-Man shoots the web, attaches to a building, but he doesn't let go of the last building until he's attached to the next one. All right, so you can build what you're building while you're still employed full time and develop the skill sets. And then the last part is just surround yourself with people who've done it, right? Find people in your community who've brought something all the way forward like you're intending. And given where you work, given your network, given your wife's network, there's plenty of people you're going to be able to find that have done the steps that you want to do that should allow you to be successful. So I think you've absolutely got this, and you need to subtly start making the mindset shift that you are a founder. And I think that will go a long way for you.
Very true. Super helpful. Thanks, guys.
Hey, Mary.
Hey, how are you guys doing? Thanks for inviting me up here. I kind of wanted to share two kind of big impacts that I had that sort of happened around the same time. One was actually, I saw this interview with Sean White, who's a famous snowboarder, right? And he had just done, I don't know if it was from 2012 or it was something, and he had just done this, like, never before done in the Olympics move or run or whatever he did. And they were like, how did you know you could do that? No one has performed that, you know, on a snowboard before. And he was like, I just pictured it in my mind and then I did it. Right. And I remember hearing that. It kind of, it's one of those things that like goes around in your brain. And then as well, kind of simultaneously, I have a family member, who is, he owned a small business and he got a law degree and he wanted to sell his business and then work as legal counsel for this company who didn't have it. And he just like, said that, and I don't know, 2 years later he just made it happen. He sold it for a large sum of money, and then he talked the head of this company into letting him become like create a position for him, right? And kind of those two things happening makes you realize, like, kind of along the lines of what Stephen was saying with the book when you were describing, I haven't read that book so I need to go read it, but when you were kind of describing that, it's like you picture what you want, even though they seem very far away. And then you have that kind of let your subconscious mind, you know, I don't know, or whatever it is, you just trust that it's going to happen. And you just keep kind of going down the road in that direction. And so I've kind of done that as well. I wanted to leave the job I had and get a different job. And so I did. And there are still friends of mine who have been wanting to leave for 6 years. And I'm like, I did it. You guys watched me do it. And I'm here. It's fine. It's great. You know, and they won't do it. Right. And then with real estate as well, the same experience is once I decided to do it, I'm like, okay, I'm going to do it. I don't know how, but it's going to happen. This is my goal. And I'm going to then, you know, kind of work in shorter increments to kind of reach that goal and just, okay, we're going to get there and we'll figure out how. But I have been hearing in spaces this week, people talking about goals, and a lot of people leaning towards the, like, go little by little, set tiny goals for yourself. And that way, you know, like, you know, you can reach them and it moves you along. And so I'm kind of wondering everyone's thoughts on that debate between having a large, well, I guess, you know, big, hairy, audacious goal or kind of setting the small incremental goals, because I think the latter or the former works better for me, and as opposed to like small incremental things. I sort of, yeah. So I was kind of wondering your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I think you nailed it, Mary, where you're like, you kind of have to know yourself as a person. It's a little bit like, you know, Dave Ramsey's debt snowball versus avalanche, right? Are you the kind of person that needs to pay off little balances to gain momentum, right? Or are you the kind of person that can like do the math and do the thing that makes the most sense mathematically and just stick with it once you start? Clint, go ahead.
Oh, sure. I just wanted to, Mary, comment on the idea of the small incremental goals versus the big exponential goals. And there's definitely a place for both of them. I'm having a conversation tomorrow morning with someone for my podcast, and he was a former Olympic athlete who is now a coach and consultant, and he wrote a wonderful book. And I think some of us in here know him, Adam Creek. He wrote a book called The Responsibility Ethic. And in it, one of the things he talks about is when you set a giant, hairy, audacious goal and you fail, it really hits hard. Unless you do certain things. And he talks about the idea of clustering multiple small goals on the path to that big goal. And so when it's almost aligned with what Stephen and I were talking about earlier with destination, but not definitive. And then on that destination, there's lots of things we want to tick off. And that way, even if we fail in that gigantic goal, if we've met 70% of those small goals that we set on the path to the big goal, we'll be less afraid. The other spot I think small goals really work is if you've never achieved a big goal. And so if, Mary, you're already achieving some pretty big goals in your life, and you're already hitting some grand slams and getting some triples and doubles. So you don't need to do 10 bunts in a row to get home. You can go for you can throw the odd home run on your goal list or the odd grand slam. But if someone has never completed a goal, they've never been successful with goal setting, then trying to go out of the park on the first at bat is a bad idea. And I would suggest that they start with a series of very, very small goals. And as they achieve them, they just build bigger and bigger goals, because they at that point are building their get it done muscle. And Stephen Wealthy, I saw you had your hand up, and Stephen Success Theory, wondering what you think on that one.
Yeah, I'll let Stephen Success Theory go. But I just wanted the one little point I just wanted to add, Mary, I loved your example with Sean White and his snowboarding. As a professional, he had the foundation already built underneath him in order to have the skills to visualize and execute. I always think back to Michael Jordan, and he always said after a bad game, when we would lose, he'd work on his fundamentals. And I think whatever our respective goal or career path, if we continue to work on those fundamentals, it will allow us at some point in time to, in Sean White's case, visualize something totally brand new, revolutionary, and execute and deliver it and wow the crowd. Steven Success Theory.
Yeah, just everything that's been said is awesome. I think, Mary, I just wanted to add in there that the goals, I think it's both. I don't think there's any. I'm going to be very blunt and be like, it's both. Anybody who says you just need small goals is missing out on the power of the massive magnet of a huge goal. And anybody who just goes or anybody who just goes after small goals could also be leading themselves up to procrastination. But anybody who goes for big goals and doesn't set small goals is leading themselves up not to go anywhere, because it's the small steps, the stones that you need to walk across to get to the big goals. So I'm 100% that it's both. Stephen mentioned Michael Jordan there. You go back to the fundamentals. Michael Jordan was going after championship rings. There's the big goals. Every time he won one, he put up another finger straight away saying he went to stare at his fourth. So that's his big goal. But as Stephen mentioned, he loses a game, he's going doing the fundamentals. The fundamentals are the small goals. They're the day-to-day, the journaling, the meditation, the DM work, the research into properties, whatever it is you guys do. It's mining crypto. It's the small things that we do on a day-to-day basis that get us to our big, huge, huge goals. So, yeah, I'm being very blunt, and I'm in team both. I'm going to get a T-shirt for that, honest. Team both for goals.
Love that. Team both. Yes, we're in team both. I love it. I don't want to get too onto the Michael Jordan thing, but if you take a look at his signature dunk, it's really not that flashy, right? The Air Jordan dunk that's on his on the shoes, and when he executes that dunk, it's really not that flashy. But what the incredible part of it is, how far away from the net he can jump and fly through the air with the ball in one hand and deliver. And that's, if you break that all down, it's, he's showing off, I can take all my fundamentals and execute them all at once and put on a terrific show for you guys. And I think, at the end of the day, your big, terrific, amazing, incredible goal that's going to make everyone in the crowd stand up and cheer your name is going to be based on some fundamentals that you're going to have to work on throughout your entire life. And it's going to take more than a year. it's probably going to take 20. But just, yeah, it's kind of how it all works, right? Okay, Apostle. Oh, we got some requests here. Sorry, I've been sleeping on the switch, guys. I apologize. I've been listening too much to Steven's Success Theory.
You're up, Apostle.
Yeah. What I also want to add to what you have all said is that we must understand that having good goals and, I mean, going through your affirmations and everything is not always a guarantee that you are going to easily, achieve whatever you have planned. So one thing I want us to all do is to be persistent in whatever goal we have. We shouldn't give up, because once you set the goals and you have a clear plan on whatever you want to achieve, there is always going to be a resistance. And those resistance or the obstacles are something that tells you that there is a great benefit if you can clear or you can cross the obstacle, or beyond the obstacle, there is a great benefit. So it's like digging a goal, you know. You don't just found, you don't just go and then you get the gold on the surface. They are found, some of them are in powdered form and others are in nugget form. And in this nugget, you are going to find them in the very, hard, the quality goals in Gophers Ghana Limited are found in a very hard rocks. The rocks are found also beneath the earth. You dig, you go deep before you can get it. So this is my suggestion or my contribution. We mustn't give up. We must keep on. And as we keep on, as we press on, whatever we are looking for, we will be able to achieve it. Because I personally believe that sometimes, because of our time, we think that we have the technology, we know this, we know that. So it's easy for us to get it. So young people usually give up because they tried it the first time and it's like, you know, I read the book and I did this and I followed the procedure and it didn't happen as planned. So it means that it cannot work out. But we must know that it's like farming. Like before the farmer can harvest the crop, it takes courage, patience, and persistence before you can harvest. You can get what you are expecting. So persistence can help us to make our goals a reality. So thank you very much.
No, that's awesome. That message of persistence is always relevant, and we definitely need that. I know we got Bill and Draco. You guys both have your hands up, but I think Khadija asked for the microphone beforehand. Khadija, sorry, my apologies if I'm pronouncing that name wrong, or sorry, your name wrong, or poorly. What do you have to contribute or question that you might have for the panel?
Okay, thank you. Thank you for giving me the opportunity. And by the way, you pronounced my name right. So good job. Okay, what I want to add is I do agree with what you guys all said about the mindset and how important it is. And I've realized early on that mindset is really the key, and it's everything. And we should, before starting anything, we have to first work on our mindset and have the right mindset. Because if you can't visualize or imagine or dream of something, so how can you achieve it? So, and there is a saying says like, if you can dream of it, you can achieve it, or something like this. So yeah, mindset is very important. And also the second thing I did with myself is visualization. Before, like, I wasn't be able to speak English fluently like now. So what I did every day, I was visualizing myself to speak influently and on stage. And every day, every morning, I remember I did this for like almost 4 years. I did this. So that was like a fuel for me to keep going towards my dream, towards my goal. And so I feel like today I'm proud of myself for doing that. Yeah, so visualizing is really important. And also the last thing is they say that you are one of the five people you hang out or meet daily. So I feel like we're like lucky to come in at this time. So we have this community, or we have like this spaces, so we can meet daily and discuss our mindset. So we can like have like-minded people around us. So yeah, so I'm thankful for each one of you guys. Thank you so much.
Can I just add one thing to what you've said?
Yes, please.
100% agree with what you've said. Visualization and envisioning your future and what you want to have in your life, our lives, is one of the most basic and freest expressions of yourself. Because in our minds, we can choose what we want to see. We can choose what we want to visualize. It is an expression of freedom unlike anything else. Because honestly, nobody else can see what you're thinking or seeing your thoughts and stuff. But our visualization is one of the most basic expressions of freedom that we can have. And then we put feeling behind it, and then we get motivation to achieve that vision. And my only thing I would add on to what you've just said, don't let anybody tell you what to see in your vision. You choose. All of us get to choose it. Don't let anyone tell you what to see, because then they control you. See what you want to see.
Well said, Stephen, and Khadij as well. Bill, you have your hand up?
Yes, please. I have my hand up. I'm Dave. I'm from Ghana. I have a question and then a contribution. I don't know which one should go first. Okay, so first, I'd like to ask, I have a problem. For the past 7 years, I've been trying as much as possible to just focus on just one thing. But I seem to have this problem that I want to have knowledge in just everything. I've done a lot of things. I've done farming. I've done dropshipping. I've done graphic design. I've done photography. I've done Forex. I've done a lot of things. But there seem to be, I seem to have a problem focusing on just one thing and being consistent with it. I want to ask, this may go to the coach. I can't see your full name, so it's the coach that I can call. If the coach can advise me on how I can literally get just one thing on and then just focus, because I seem to have too many skills. Like, I have a little bit of knowledge in all of these things, including programming and computer science, but then I've not mastered any yet. That's what I want to ask. That's the first question. And then the second question is with the imagination. There was in 2015, there was one thing that I imagined, that I wanted to come out as a chartered accountant. And then, although I imagine my whole family, nobody has ever done that. So it was a banter. A lot of people, they didn't see the imagination clearly, the vision clearly. So they told me it was impossible. It shouldn't be done because it's difficult to become a chartered accountant. But 4 years down the line, I was able to make it. So as Mr. Steven said, that sometimes your vision, you don't have to let anybody tell you your vision. You are the only one who can see it clearly. It's very, very true. I hope my contribution is cool, and then my question will be answered. Thank you very much.
Yeah, they were both. It was great, brother. I'm proud of you for pursuing your CPA, even when your family didn't see that that could be in your future. And you got it done. Well done. So one of the things I want you to take away from that is you can do something. You can complete things. And on the podcast call I had with my guest today, we talked about this exact issue, right? That smart person or the intelligent person you know who has 10 things on the go and they're all 90% done, but nothing's finished. And I've always been that person. I've always gotten to the, let's say, 90th percentile at something, and then I've stopped. I've said, okay, I'm good enough. I don't need to be in the top 2%. I don't need to be in the top 1%. I hit my mark. I let go. I'm not going to keep pushing. And something you realize when you start to do the shadow work, you start to ask yourself, Stephen talked about it yesterday when we were having coaching conversations with people, you start to ask yourself the seven whys. You realize that deep down, you think you don't deserve it, Bill. Or Dave, sorry. Bill, Dave, you've got me on that one. So Dave, you feel like you're not worth it, that you don't deserve it. So you can't get yourself to expert level at something because you're not good enough to be an expert. And so that's a limiting belief. And when we can let go of that limiting belief and say, I am worth it, I do deserve to be an expert. And so even now at 43, I'm having these realizations about myself, right? And so when you start to learn these things, you file them away and you act on them. So now I have probably 10 things that are on my list and I'm going to 100%. I'm not stopping at 90. I'm not stopping at 80, right? Stephen's Success Theory mentioned his $1 million coaching goal. Something similar is on my mind, a very similar suite of products that would be on offer, and it's going to happen. I'm not going to stop when I get a certain percentage of the way, because you just have to believe I am worth going all the way. So take the 10 things that you're great, that you're good at, and choose the 4 that you want to be great at. Put the 6 aside, focus on the 4, become great, become someone that people aspire to be. And with that, I'm going to pass it over to Stephen's successor.
Yeah, Bill, Dave, I just wanted to jump in and add to what Clint was saying. Amazing stuff, Clint, mentioning the 7 levels of why. It's a huge one. But I wanted to come at it from a slightly different angle. I used to deal in my corporate world with change management quite a lot. I used to deal with sort of early adopters, the early majority, the late majority, and laggards. I don't know if anybody's ever seen that bell curve. But there's also a book by Seth Godin that talks about it in the sense of personal development. It's called The Dip, if anybody has read it. You can put a fist up just to let me know. But they're very similar concepts, is that we will start things and we will be on this energy curve of learning. And the first 20 hours or the first 100 hours that you do something, it's usually exciting. You get a lot of momentum. You get the basic skills down and you get to an okay level. But then you hit this kind of like dip or this wall, this chasm that you've got to cross. And that's the hard step from a beginner to maybe an intermediate to someone who's not a beginner, to someone who's actually got a skill set on that. And that is actually the hardest part, is that dip. It's that chasm that we've got to cross. And when I was working in the corporate environment, that's when a lot of new processes would start to wobble. People have been to the training for the first couple of weeks. They're talking to customers using new processes. But then when they really start to embed and get to the next level, a lot of people would wobble. And then they would go back to their old routines and habits, because that's the easy thing to do. And the easy thing to do for us in our own lives and within personal development is, oh, this is getting hard now. I'm not too sure how to do this graphic design. Oh, I'm not too sure how to be a copywriter. Oh, look, here's a new niche. Let's go do that. And then you get all the excitement again. You get all the new stuff. So there's like a very similar pattern that happens when we're going through change, is that when we hit this more difficult part, we'll either look for something new, a dopamine hit, to get us all excited again, that climb, or we fall back into old patterns and routines and we never cross that chasm. We never get past that dip. And I think if you're cognitively aware that when you're starting something new, that you're going to hit a dip, you can plan for that. You can get accountability. You can hire coaches. You can go back to school, do a course or whatever that is during that time to help somebody pull you out of that dip, to pull you across that chasm so you actually can become skilled and at a level up of mastery in that area. I hope that helps.
No, that's awesome. Thanks, Stephen. Yeah, sorry, Bill, Dave.
Sorry for interrupting. I wanted to say thank you for the answers. I think what you said is true, especially the coach. During my start in dropshipping, I realized that I was able to sell a few materials, but then it got to a point where I had issues with registration. And just that company registration in my country, we are supposed to get it registered, and I heard the process is quite tedious. I just didn't even try it. So I think it's true that the learning curve sometimes gets to a point where the energy keeps reducing. But I hope and pray that the rest of my journey I'll be able to go through. Let me pass through with just one question, and then I'll be done with you. I hope that's fine, if I can. My question is, my question is, right now I work as with an audit firm, and as I'm speaking right now, it's 3 a.m. here, so I wake up at dawn just to do my side hustle, and I'm having a problem. I'm thinking of actually having a going full time into my focusing on my entrepreneurship thing. I do a bit of real estate. I've started quite some time now, and I do do trading, crypto and forex actually for the period. I'm thinking of leaving my firm because one, it's taking a lot of time, and two, I feel it's not giving me the edge, the amount of time I need to focus on my side or my full-time entrepreneurship thing. I'm not the 9-to-5 type, so I always feel like I don't have to be in the office. Will you advise me to take the limp with a huge risk to come out and focus on my entrepreneurship? I'm just 26, actually. To come out of the 9-to-5 and then focus on my entrepreneurship, or you advise to keep some period going? Well, what a lot of people advise that you keep it halfway through, and then when the side hustle matures very well, you limp out of it. Which one will you advise? That would be my last question. So thank you to everybody before I leave. Okay.
Coach or Stephen, do either one of you want to take that question?
Just quit your job, go big. I'm kidding. Don't do that. That was a joke. I'm a big fan of making sure that you've got momentum in the area that you want to grow into. I'm not one of these sort of like hustle 24/7, you know, 365, commit your whole future to one thing and just burn the boats. As even Clint was mentioning earlier, I didn't burn the boats when I left my corporate job. I had already a pretty okay stock portfolio and money saved up. I already had clients on the go and info products selling a minimum amount. I had things moving in the right direction. I would advise anybody to, you know, build momentum and get things moving before taking that leap. That would be my advice.
Yeah, I'll echo that. I'm in that boat right now. I mean, I work a full-time job with my family, and I've got 3 or 4 or 5 side hustles that are being built out over the course of 5 years until I'm ready to press that button. So set yourself up for success in those subfields that you're looking at while still having the income to pay the bills and build yourself a war chest. That way, if you do flip and things don't go right out of the gate, you don't have to flip back. You want to have a sufficient enough runway that you can be successful. So there's nothing wrong with doing both if you're capable of doing it and you have the capacity. If you feel like that's impossible, try to see if there's a way to wind down one of them while winding up the other. I would likely suggest, given your age and given what you're doing with your CPA, that you seek to do both while you're capable of doing it.
Awesome. Tone, how did you know that you were ready to take the leap?
The leap to leave my 9-to-5. I will see on Friday how I knew I was ready. But the truth is, it just became unmanageable. If I didn't have my husband here with me, it just became unmanageable to try and do collecting rent from, like this month, we collected rent from 14 doors, and trying to ship everything and trying to juggle all the different things. It just became unmanageable. And that was the one that was really draining me with the expectations. And I tried leaving 2 years ago, and I definitely wish I would have 2 years ago, but I've pushed really hard, and I've you know, I was at 11 doors when I was ready to leave, and now I'm at 17 doors. So I pushed really hard the last 2 years to get these 6 extra doors. So I couldn't, you know, I was at a breaking point, and then you toss in just a little bit of extras or going to a birthday party for a family member or something like that. I'm just like, I can't do it all. So that was my sign that it was time to tap out.
Awesome. Thanks. Thanks, Tom. Samantha, do you have anything? I invited you up here to say anything or insights that you have on this. Do you have anything to add to what we've been talking about here of taking a big goal, taking that big leap, and knowing those first steps to take?
Hey, thanks for inviting me up. I appreciate it. I think I could give some help to those of you who are thinking about switching from a 9-to-5 or a fairly stable job and shifting over into a side hustle that you've been working on or going into. I get asked this question quite a bit in some of my rooms as well. I am a tax expert by first trade, so I do have quite a bit of experience with finance and people shifting between, you know, and a T, we call in Canada a T4, so employment and going to sole proprietorship or into business. But there's a couple things that I would that I want to do on a caution side first, and then the bold part. So the caution side is, you know, when I had clients that would come in front of me and want to make that shift, we would look at their financial position, and you'd really want a good, I mean, ideally at least 3-month wiggle room. It doesn't mean that you have to be like really, really have tons of room for that 3 months, but enough to make ends meet. Because by the ideally, I would actually say 4, because give yourself a good 3 months so you can see where you're at, see if it's for you when you make that jump. But you do need some wiggle room, because if you're stressed out about making your rent and everything else, it's going to be really hard for you to put everything into your side hustle when you're stressed about making rent or food for your family. So 4 months is nice, because at 3 months, you're going to know where you're going to have a pretty good idea where you're at or whether you're fit for it. This is an exact formula, of course, but it gives you, if you've planned for at least 4 months to live frugally, the 4th month, if you realize sometimes it's not for you, or a family situation comes up, or you have a really great job offer come up in another industry, another place, but you've got a little time to go and search for work before you end up with nothing or without anywhere to live. So those are some things you can think about. But here's another really cool thing that's been happening with Twitter Spaces. Almost every time I've heard someone come up in a room and say, this is my side hustle. So if this is any of you in the room, just come up in the space and actually say what the side hustle is. Don't just say, I have a side hustle. This is what my side hustle is. This is what I'm trying to accomplish. Is there any way you can help me get there faster? When should I shift? Because almost every time somebody in the room has gone, actually, I know someone who's looking for someone in that exact industry, or is looking to get contracts or hire out. So you may be surprised that you may end up landing some extra contracts that give you that room to be able to shift to your side hustle. So continue to talk about it. Talk about it with your friends, because networking is gold. Like that is your way up. So keep talking about it, because you never know who knows someone who's like, wait a minute, I know someone for you. I know I can help you up, whatever. So anyway, that's my contribution to that question that gets asked a lot in a lot of rooms.
Awesome. Thanks so much, Samantha. I really appreciate that. We did have a question come through. It was from Daryl Harge. My apologies if I pronounced that bad. Her question is, how do you recover from losses? Any tips or suggestions for dealing with loss or setbacks? Open this up to anyone, Stephen, Coach, Samantha. Do you guys have any ideas of best ways to deal with a loss or a setback?
A loss in the sense of just a failure?
Yeah, let's frame it like that. Yeah, like a failure or a setback. Let's not do like market losses or family losses.
Yeah, my mind went straight to family losses, and I was like, I'm not going to answer that. But yeah, failure, I could do that one. I've got plenty of those experiences in my life, in my career. I think one thing that I'm learning, and I think it's something that when you decide to become an entrepreneur and you decide to work on your own, a lot of the platitudes about failure, the quotes that you read about the process and not getting attached to results, they actually really start to take meaning when you start working for yourself. Because when you're working in the corporate environment and things go wrong, yeah, you can still be hurt by them, but you're still getting paid. And I think over the last 6 or 7 or 8 months for me, it's been a real lesson in not getting too attached with the result and focusing on doing the fundamentals, like we were talking about Michael Jordan earlier. For me, my result is I one-on-one coach people. So I want to get people on phone calls, and then I want to get people signed into my program. But I don't focus on monetary amounts or signing people up. What one of my key metrics is the process of getting people on a phone call is where I really put my energy. So that's the kind of the result or the process I look for. And that process involves writing good tweets into my avatar, writing good threads, having good content, being on spaces like this. So it's, for me, failure comes because we are emotionally attached to a result. And getting into stoicism a little bit, if you can detach from that result and then think about your process and think of things as a test, that means if the failure comes, you're not as emotionally hurt by it, because you're only hurt by the failure if you had emotions invested in the result.
Well, that's powerful. Only if you had emotions invested in the results. I love it. Coach Clint?
Yeah, Samantha put up a post into the Nest that absolutely aligns with how I view it. And Stephen, you talked about it. You know, sometimes we put the platitudes all over Twitter about failure. But if you're learning from it and you take what Apostle said and you're persistent, then that learning will help you succeed the next time. Like, I was growing up, Steve, I never did a lot of academics. I was all sports based, and I hated losing. Like, losing sucked. But when you lost, you thought about, well, why did I lose today, right? Why did I lose this game? Why did my team lose? How can we be better next game? Steve didn't pass the puck to Ted. We were playing basketball. This guy didn't rebound. And so you were able to always say, hey, guys, we lost that game. Here's why we lost. Here's how we're going to come out and win next game. And so taking that same attitude to your life, and then if you can, I do like this concept that we said to Mary of taking a lot of small goals along the way to the big goal, so that even if we miss the big goal, we still hit a lot of small goals that did move us forward in life. Because it's always weird if you set up like a binary goal where there's no ancillary benefit other than the achievement of the goal. If you miss those ones, obviously, like, that's a failure that sucks, and I don't know if you get a lesson from it other than don't set up your goals that way. But if you have a big goal that you build towards and you gain skills along the way, then even if you don't hit the goal, it feels like you win. So I think recognizing, because the question was how do you deal with it, recognizing the wins. Recognizing that you are a better person because you took the journey, recognizing you're smarter, you're stronger, you're faster, you're better, you've improved, recognizing if it was that, you know, the sport analogy, why did we lose? Why did we fail? How will we win next time? And just changing your focus away from the fail onto the lesson learned. And I see Khadija had her hand up on this one.
Sorry, just for interrupting this important topic. I just have a question, Coach Clint. You said you just told to Bill, like, be good at 6 or choose 6 fields and be great at 4, something like this. I just want to be sure again, what was that exactly?
Oh, I was just being random on that one, and that's because Bill Dave said that he had 10, as an example, he threw out, he had 10 things on the go that he was good at, but he wasn't great at any of them. So part of what I was suggesting was, instead of just being good at that many things, focus on the ones that really matter to you. And it doesn't have to be any more than one or two, but narrow it down from 10 so that you can become great. And you can, Khadija, I think Warren Buffett has a
25 rule, where you write down your 25 top things you want to work on, and you work on the first five and throw away the last 20. So that type of thinking is really set your priorities on the ones that really matter and become phenomenal at those, and leave the others aside was what I was trying to get at for him.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
I'm going to pivot real quick, Stephen, if that's okay. I pinned a tweet up at the top that I shared this week, which is my second real estate deal. I was 22 and I bought the first one and it was a great purchase. And when I was 22, I bought another property that I didn't run numbers on and didn't do the work on. And I ended up losing money on it all 10 years that I owned it. And I lost $22,000 when I sold it. And I certainly didn't stop there. And everyone on that tweet and messages says, I would have stopped after that one. Like, I can't believe that you kept going after you lost $22,000. And I just looked at it, just made me work harder on the next one, because the deal three for me was a home run, and then deal four was an even better home run. So I used that as motivation to keep pushing harder, and that's why I shared that. And that's really with all my fails, and I've had plenty over the last 18 years of buying real estate, I wouldn't be leaving my 9-to-5 this week if I gave up when I was 22 because I bought a bad property. And that's, I just kind of wanted to pivot on that. Steven, you had your hand up.
Yeah, thanks, Tom. Yeah. I want to tighten up a little bit. We could keep the answers a little shorter, 60 to 90 seconds. We do have quite a few people that have been waiting for a while to share some thoughts and insight. But Samantha, Steven, and then I want to get to Patrick. And so, Mia. So if we could just go like that, but just keep the answers a little tighter, guys. We got quite a few people who still want to share.
Yeah, thanks for that. There's a lot to add for failure, but I want to add this aspect of it. When you concentrate on your failure, there's a very powerful element, and it's called shame. And when you have shame, that will separate you from success if you allow it to set in. So the important thing is that when you feel like you had failure, which I really rarely use that word anymore, it's like, oh, that was my first attempt in learning this, or I was learning this time. Next time I'm going to do better. I learned something. But it is important to acknowledge the failure and say, you know what? I did mess up on that. I could have done it better. I've learned something from it. I'm going to take what I learned and I'm going to succeed next time. And that in itself is very, very powerful. So whoever asked that, any of you in the room, really don't, like, shame is so powerful. It creates resentment and anger at yourself and self-hate and all kinds of things, and is not a mindset you want. So it's an attempt at learning. There is not one person out there, one millionaire, one successful person, one successful anything that didn't have a number of attempts at learning to get there. So you are on your way to success, and that's how you need to see that.
Yeah, I was just going to echo very quickly. I have a three-word mantra that I use very often when I'm in the moment of a failure, and it's test, learn, adapt. I'm somewhere in that cycle. Whenever I'm getting results, I'm either testing, learning from that test, and then adapting from that learning and testing again. So anytime you're in a moment of failure, or you feel like you're in the moment, you're not in failure, you're somewhere in the cycle of test, learn, adapt.
That's terrific. And as we get better at those things and we learn and we adapt, not only are we able to take another step towards our eventual success, but we can help others as well too, when they seek our advice, to make that next step as well. And so it's a double benefit. Patrick, you've been waiting far too long, my friend, and I apologize. What do you have for us tonight, bud?
No, I appreciate that, Steven. Yeah, just a quick comment and then contribution. The words we allow ourselves to hear are powerful. So what we speak out into the world is what our mind is eventually going to believe. So I think Samantha and Steven, those examples you gave are just spot on. And then quick contribution, I think as we all look to kind of build the successful mindset and grow in our own personal success, not to forget that we're going to be reliant on the help of others. This is something we can't accomplish by ourselves. And two questions I always ask that has helped me massively in my new career was, when I'm working with mentors, one, how can I be of service or value? So one, it's not just me always consuming and taking from someone else. It's what can I contribute as well? And then number two, surprisingly, it's opened up a massive amount of doors for me of, do you know anyone else that can help me? And it's shocking to see how many people are willing to go above and beyond to help you. And then when you get that warm introduction, they can open doors to you where you're no longer a stranger getting introduced to somebody else. You are automatically a credible individual because so-and-so has just introduced you as a trusted advisor. This person is now more welcoming to not only meet with you, but then to help you on your path further.
Absolutely love it. Thank you so much, Patrick. That's a terrific contribution. All right, guys, it's been a terrific night tonight. We've been going on for almost 2 hours here. Any closing comments, suggestions, or ways in which we can become better at what we do and achieve our eventual success? Coach, and then Mary?
Yeah, I think just continue to think about your mindset and recognize what is serving you and what do you need to change. Ever forward, focus on the positive. You do deserve it. You are worthy. And seek to understand what you don't know about yourself. So do the inner work. Do the inner child work, the shadow work. Speak to other people and figure out where your blind spots are. Because a lot of what holds us back, we can't even see. So find the right people to help you see what you can't see.
Can't believe you're making me go after Coach. Mostly my mindset comes from really focusing on your why, really knowing it, writing it down, looking at it every day, thinking about it, and planning incremental steps to kind of build along the way to get you to your why. And that's kind of my main thing to add after everything everyone else has said, which has been amazing.
Thank you, Mary. Lauren, are you feeling up for some closing comments?
I am feeling a little bit tired, and I am recovering from Omicron, I believe. So I just want to say thank you to our guest, Stephen, and our regular panel of Stephen, Clint, and Tom as well. I can't remember, probably because I have COVID brain, but who came up with this topic. But I absolutely love it. I learned a lot. I learn from you guys every week. I hope I offer you guys, you know, a little tidbit here or there as well. Also want to thank everybody who spoke. Adam, nice to meet you. Mary, thank you for coming up. Samantha, loved hearing from you. Khadij, Dave, everybody, thank you so much for speaking. As we talked about earlier, this will be available in a few days on the Adulting is Easy podcast feed. That is me. And we do these every Wednesday at 9:30 Eastern. And you can do the math for your own time zone there. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. And we'll talk to you on Twitter and talk to you next week.